First, though, a look back at Francis's beginnings in Argentina. He became head of the Jesuit order there in 1973 in the lead-up to the government's dirty war on its own citizens. Back then, Francis was Jorge Mario Bergoglio, and he was among the Catholic leaders who rejected liberation theology, which embraced the poor and social change. Author Paul Vallely has written about the evolution of the Pope's thinking during that period.
At that time, there was a division in the Jesuits between those who wanted to work with the poor and political organizations in the slums and those who wanted to carry on the old ways of educating the rich elite of the country and having a spirituality which was more traditional. Bergoglio was in the camp who was opposed to liberation theology, and he took over the Jesuits. He was supposed to heal the division between the two sides, but he actually made it worse. And at the end of his 15 years in various leadership positions in Argentina, he was sent into exile so that the split could heal. And he was sent off to Cordoba, where for 2 years he had a kind of wilderness period and a dark night of the soul. And he emerged from that having cast off this conservative, authoritarian, strict disciplinarian model of leadership. And he'd become much more like the figure we see today in the Vatican, warm, empathetic, listening, working among the poor and allowing them to participate and to be empowered. So there was this huge shift in him.
So there's this departure. He had this departure from the conservative leanings of the church. You also mentioned the dirty war that was raging at the time in the mid-70s. There was a coup, a dictatorship. A lot of civilians disappeared. Very difficult time for Argentina. What was Pope Francis's position with this really oppressive regime in Argentina?
There was a controversy over two Jesuits who were working among the poor and living among the poor. And Bergoglio said to them as their superior, I want you to leave the slums and come back and live in the Jesuit headquarters. They refused to do that because they said, no, this is where our mission is. But Bergoglio locked horns with these two men and said to them, no, I'm the superior. You've taken a vow of obedience. I'm telling you to leave. Leave. The two men who had both been Bergoglio's teachers, one is philosophy teacher, one is theology teacher, thought they knew better and argued with him. So he said, right, you've effectively left the order. And he told the Archbishop of Buenos Aires that these men had left the order. And the Archbishop withdrew their license to say mass. The military looked at this and thought these men have been tossed aside by their own order and by the hierarchy of the church. They're obviously subversives. And they went in and picked them up, hooded them, shackled them, tortured them and detained them in pretty awful conditions for 5 months. On the case of these two Jesuits, there was a lot of ill feeling in the Jesuits that he'd let these men down.
It sounds like he had been carefully quiet in Argentina regarding the dictatorship and the dirty war, and then kind of later objected to it. Did he ever apologize for his position, for his silence?
He didn't apologize in those words, but he gave an interview, one of the rare interviews he gave as Archbishop, in which he said he'd made hundreds of errors when he was leader of the Jesuit. And he'd been put into the job too early. He was too young, too inexperienced, too authoritarian. People said he was an ultra-conservative because of the way he behaved, and he regretted that. So he's shown remorse for it. He didn't stand up like some of the bishops did against the military, but the bishops who stood up against the military ended up being killed in mysterious car crashes and other events.
That was Paul Vallely, author of Pope Francis, A Struggle for the Soul of Catholicism. We also checked in with my BBC colleague in Buenos Aires, Veronica Smink, and we asked her if Argentines still have mixed feelings about the Pope's actions during the dirty war.
There is a sense that, as with many other people during that time, probably they could have done more. But there's also the acknowledgement that he wasn't very high up in the hierarchy of the church, that there is absolutely no allegation being made of wrongdoing on his behalf personally. And since then, there have also been stories and people coming up saying, actually, you know, this wasn't well known, but he helped me with this. He helped our family like this. And even since then, you know, the main advocates for human rights, for instance, the head of the Grandmothers of Plaza de Mayo, who has been looking for a disappeared grandchildren who were kidnapped during the military dictatorship, and has said, you know, that it was a mistake to link Pope Francis with any wrongdoing during the military years.
The BBC's Veronica Smink there.